So I work for an organization called 3DM, and we train Christian leaders to do discipleship and mission in an increasingly post-Christian context. And I always feel a little bit weird saying that for the first time to a group of Christian leaders, because on some level, it's like, aren't we all in the discipleship business? Like, aren't we all in the mission business? And that is obviously very, very true. And yet, increasingly, we meet leaders, and not just young leaders. I mean, leaders of every denomination, leaders of every age, leaders of every background and every size of church who say, you know, we're experiencing a lot of good. You know, I feel like we're starting to get some missional impulse, but man, the discipleship thing keeps me up at night. And discipleship is never really cool to talk about. It's not really sexy. It's the call to come and die. It's the long obedience in the same direction. It's not quite as exciting as mission can be to talk about, and yet it's the Great Commission. It's what we've been called to do. And last October, I was meeting with this incredible pastor who's in his 60s. I mean, someone that I greatly admire. And he's built this church of, you know, 8,000 or 10,000, and his church has done amazing things. And he's kind of getting to the point of retirement. And he was saying, he's like, man, that's what keeps me up at night. Like, we've done amazing things, but I don't know how faithful we've been to creating disciples. And I love that Carrie talked about that, like, small group of people, that scrappy band that was swinging wildly at the gates of evil, that in this 30-year span, we're able to literally start a movement that changed the course of history, that brought all of us here today through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And they were able to do it by making disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples. And in a lot of our churches today, we don't really know if we're doing that, or we don't really feel confident in maybe how well we've been doing it. So anyway, that's what we do. I love that the topic I was asked to speak on was calling the Church of Christ back to purity, simplicity, and accountability, which are much sexier words than the old school monastic vows, which were chastity, poverty, and obedience. Nobody's signing up for that these days. And about 2 years ago, my husband and I took vows to join a global neo-monastic order called the Order of Mission. And as part of that, you know, I guess initiation is the wrong word, we took vows to orient our life around those three ideals. And part of what we did was we said John Wesley's covenant prayer. I don't know how many of you know that one, but I don't have a slide for it, sorry. But it goes, I am no longer my own but thine. Put me to what you will. Rank me with who you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside by thee. Exalted by thee or brought low by thee. Really, things that people are really wanting to volunteer for. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And I remember saying those vows and thinking that if I was honest, I didn't really mean them. But I wanted to. And the reality is that the word disciple, and most of you guys probably know this, is mathetes. And the definition of mathetes in Greek means learner. So in other words, a disciple is someone who is learning to have the character and competency of Jesus. It's someone who's learning to be able to do the things that Jesus did for the reasons that Jesus did them. So in other words, creating disciples is about taking on the posture, and being a disciple is about taking on the posture of a learner and orienting your life towards learning, even if it's not your natural gut, learning a life of simplicity, learning a life of purity, learning a life of accountability. And I think often what happens if you think about character and competency, we see this picture of Jesus and we see the things that Jesus could do, and you saw the disciples and they were learning to pray the way that he prayed, and they were learning to hear the Father the way that he heard the Father. They were learning to heal the sick the way that he healed the sick. And you can see this picture where, yes, he's training them and he's talking about, you know, their hearts. He's talking about pride. He's talking about fear. But you also, if you read the New Testament, see some kind of fun exchanges of like practical, tactical teaching. So there's this great teaching in Matthew 9 where the disciples have gone out and they've tried to drive out a demon and they've come back and it didn't work. And Jesus is like, all right, guys, here's what you do. This kind of demon can only be driven out with prayer and fasting. Like, he's teaching these guys, he's coaching them on how to have the competencies that he had. And often in our church context today, we tend to overvalue one or the other. So if you look at the matrix, there are people who really focus on high character, right? So the people who were really, really worried about our interior life. And then there are people who can focus really a lot on high competency. And I think often, particularly with young leaders, we're really good at spotting talent, right? Like people are identified for leadership because they're charismatic or because they're gifted or because they're smart or because they're charming. And we don't always do as good a job at developing their interior life. So if you look at, sorry, I'll be really quick. I know I'm running out of time. If you look at the next slide, we hear these kind of sad statistics about the decline of the church in America. This is from a book called The Bridger Generation that show that, you know, our grandparents' generation, you know, 3 out of 4 are in church every Sunday. You know, maybe our parents' generation, it's 1 out of 3. Gen X, 15%. Gen Y or the millennials, 4%. And this is actually counting church attendance. This isn't even really talking about the people whose lives are oriented around learning to be like Christ. So a few years ago, when Dallas Willard put out his book, The Great Omission, my husband had the opportunity to go and hear him speak about discipleship. And he asked everyone in the audience, he said, you know, I really feel like every church should be asking themselves 2 questions. One, what is our plan for making disciples? And 2, does our plan work? And it was kind of this like elephant in the room because most of them, all vocational pastors, didn't know if they had a plan and didn't know if their plan worked. At least that's what my husband said was the buzz around lunch. And somebody asked Dallas during the Q&A how many churches he knew that really were being effective at this, were creating the kind of missional disciples that we read about in Scripture, the kind of 12 guys that could start a movement that would change the course of civilization. And he said that he couldn't really think of many at all. And so I know that we're going to be in different work groups this week. I'm excited to talk about kind of re-embracing this call, you know, to create disciples, because in theory, that's what we're all here for. Thanks.